Thank you, team. That was great worship music and prepares our hearts for what we are going to hear from the Lord this morning. Just as I'd like to make a statement based on what I said before, the second best thing that the Lord has ever given me besides salvation of my soul is my wife, Jennifer. In 28 years, it seems like just a couple years. So what I said at the back was just something for fun. But I love you very much, Jen, and it grows. That's what the Lord would want, right? For our relationships here and as we move forward to a relationship that will be even better in a future day. Well, this morning, we're going to continue our study in stewardship. You remember the definition of biblical stewardship? Joan's going to put it up on the board for us here. I don't have a monitor here, so I can't really. But biblical stewardship recognizes the faithful management of all God's stuff by God's people in order to complete his mission to preach the gospel to every nation. Let's say that together. I think we could do that. I'll try to lead out. Biblical stewardship recognizes the faithful management of all God's stuff by God's people in order to complete his mission to preach the gospel to every nation. Last week we studied the stewardship of togetherness, and we learned from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that when we were converted, or at the point in time when we became children of God, we were baptized into one body by one Spirit. We are body of Christ individually and collectively. This body is both universal and it's also local. And this body is made up of many members. It's likened in Scripture to a human body, and that's a great comparison. The human body has many members that control it and operate it. And every member is needed. One's not more important than the other. We can't say to one part of our body, we really don't need you, you can go home now. But our body is so intricately designed by the eternal God that every part is needed. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25, 26, some scripture that supports this, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that all members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all members suffer. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. A real life practical story. I woke up Tuesday morning and I could hardly see. I'm saying I'm so dizzy. I don't know where I'm going. I bumped into the wall. I wasn't sure where I was going. I shaved, got ready for work. I drove to Sault Ste. Marie from Pine Island. When I hit after Rydal Bank Road, I came over the hill and Pumpkin Point kind of separated. And the road was here and the road was here, and I had a hard time keeping my truck between the lines. I drove to the office, and when I hit Second Line and Great Northern Road at the Shell gas station, I didn't know if the car in front of me was in front of me there or in front of me there. My depth perception was completely gone, and I was hanging on to the truck, and I said, I got to get somewhere to help, for some help, because I don't know what this is. I go to my office, and some people there said, you got to get to the hospital. So I went to emergency and came in, and I was first diagnosed with BPV, benign positional vertigo. But I didn't have all the classic signs, so they went through some testing, and finally they figured out, or at least it's believed to be, that I have a virus in my inner ear. And I don't know if anybody's ever had vertigo. But in behind your head here, behind your brain, there's a little inner ear canal, and there's these little circular tubes, and sometimes calcium deposits from either a head injury or from infection virus get loose, and they go down this canal, and it totally immobilizes you. I mean, you think about something that's this big in a body, whatever your size is, completely putting you out of commission. I spent all day Tuesday with one foot on the floor, laying flat in the dark. It was like bed spins from, well, I don't know anything about bed spins. The doctor told me I was walking around with a 4-beer buzz. I don't know anything about that either. But it was horrendous. And I had to lay there, and every time I turned my head, it was like, and you know, your stomach's upset. And I said, what an experience of a something very small affecting the whole body. One member was suffering, my whole body was suffering. So if I'm leaning a little bit to the right this morning. So if I can't talk and close my eyes because I'll fall down. I'll hold on to this. So if I fall off this side, you'll know what it is. But still dizzy 3 days later. Anyways, our teaching last week rolled out the end saying that we need each other in the body. That every part is needed, as we've practically explained. And we need each other to exhort and counsel and hold up and support and love and fellowship and all those things that are needed, very similar to all the parts that are needed for your human body. And that kind of just works right into the study topic that we have today, stewardship of our gifts. A couple years ago, the end of 2011, 2012, we did an extensive study on spiritual gifts. We went through each one of the gifts specifically and how they play out in our life. We're not going to do that this morning, but this is more a direction of what God has gifted us with and the responsibility. That's what stewardship is, remember? The faithful management of all God's stuff. The stewardship or the responsibility we have with what God has given us that we can work and use for His honor and for His glory. As members of the body, we're built, we're designed to contribute as God has gifted. We're going to read some scripture together and discuss a little bit from that, and then we're going to go into a little bit of our shape. Let's read together in Romans chapter 12. Now, we had a glitch in our program, so our crew in the back were frantically typing out some of the read scriptures, so we would have them this morning. First one's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. Steve Olar shared this with us in our first service. Do we have that, Joan? Just for those that would like to read along in the New King James, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or your logical service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through grace, the grace given to you, or to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. That's important for us to realize. We're many members, but we all have a different function, not all the same. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another, having then different gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. The next one. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. For he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of that, of the stature of fullness of Christ. And I think we'll stop reading on there just for the sake of time. Ephesians chapter 2, which we just had up on the screen, is an interesting verse. It says, Ephesians 2 and verse 10, read this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And our last reading is in 1 Peter chapter 4. It's good just to read God's word and to know that we're not taking this stuff from our own thoughts, but in fact we're getting this from God's word. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. "But the end of all things are at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have a fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God." That's all we're going to read this morning. It's interesting that all these scriptures tie in the fact that we're one body and that this body is made up of many members, and they're gifted particularly unique to each one. And our responsibility as good stewards of what God has given to us is to use that gifting that God has given to us. Romans 12 and verse 1, we're urged to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We heard about that in the first service. We're to say, why? Why would I give my body as a living sacrifice? Well, the verse goes on to say, because of what Christ has done for you, I urge you, I beseech you, brethren and sisters, that you present your bodies, because that's just the logical thing to do. That's the normal response that should come out of our heart for what God has done for us. We're not to be conformed to the world, think like them, do like them, act like them, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds to know God's will and his power in our life. And how do you do that? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit affects that change as we read God's word, we live in God's word, we memorize it to as we walk in the way and as we talk, and that renewing is the Holy Spirit working in our life, changing us from the way we were to what God would want us to be. Verse 4 says that, and this is a repeat again, that we are members of one body, body of Christ. And I love that part, that we don't all have the same function. I'm very thankful for that. Each member has been given gifts, spiritual, verse 6 and 8, by the Holy Spirit. And it kind of describes how God's plan works out in verse 3. It says, to each one, a measure of faith. You know what that means? That means it wasn't me asking, well, Lord, I'd like to look like this. I would like my gift to be this. That measure of faith is the correct proportion of spiritual gifting so that we can fulfill our role in the body as God designed it to be. That proportion of faith comes from the Almighty God. It isn't me saying, I think I want to do this. And everybody else says, no, Andrew, don't do that. This is a proportion given, a measure given by the Holy God for each one of us as he sees fit for our use in the body. We went to Ephesians chapter 4 and we read verses 11 and 12. The gifts were given for the equipping of the saints. In other words, it's something like that little tube in the back. It equips my balance. And without it, I'm flat. Each one of us then, our gifting, our uniqueness has been given to us for equipping the saints for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I love verse 16. So the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Remember, every joint is supplying something. It's not deficient in any part. Every part does its share. causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We went on and we read in Ephesians chapter 2 that, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's special, unique design. You might say, I'm not too unique and I'm not a special design. Well, you are. God has designed and uniquely allowed things in your life to be you and only you, different from everyone else. And you and I were made for a contribution. Do you agree? Do you agree that we'd be really in tough shape if our balancing probes in the back of our head were out of commission all the time? I don't care how bright you are. I don't care how well you can run. I don't care how skilled you are at your trade or vocation. If that little balancing thing is not where it needs to be, you can't use any of those other things. So every part needed, every one of those things proportioned, unique for a contribution. God made you and I to make a difference. We got a statement from a pastor in one of the books that I was reading. It says, it does not matter how long we live, but how we live. Not the duration of our life, but the donation of your life. And you might remember some of that from a past study that we've done. We read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11, that the apostle reminds us, Peter reminds us, that we as believers in Jesus Christ were given special gifts and abilities. And he uses that term that we've been talking about for the last group of Sundays, and as good stewards, someone who takes care of someone else's resources, all of God's stuff, we are to use these gifts to serve others. You know, from the scriptures we've read today and the comments that we've made, we can understand that every believer in Jesus Christ, all of us in this room and whatever other church group is gathering, those that are believers and children of God are part of the body of Christ. Agreed? We should be part of a local church, even though we didn't read those verses. It's in the chapter that not only are you part of the universal, but you should be part of a group that meets so that this body can actually work. You know, my father used to tell me, you don't live unto yourself. You're not an island. I said, Dad, I want to be an island. I want to do what I want to do because I want to do it. Well, we're not. We've been designed, we've been created for community, and God would want us in a church setting. And those are intimated in these chapters, that not only does he call us out of the world to the universal church, but he calls us from the universal church to a local church so that we can edify, encourage, build each other up, help, support. We need each other. We also have gotten from these verses that we have been given special gifts, abilities, and these gifts are for the whole body. But practically speaking, I believe our stewardship of gifting goes beyond just understanding your spiritual gifts. I believe that. I believe each one of us have been given a uniquely shaped life by God for his service. And this unique shaping or gifting by God is firstly to use in the church, and secondly to use for God's kingdom outside the church as a witness to his grace to the world around us, to show others what God has done for you in the transformation of a sinful person to a blood-washed saint. You remember a few years ago, and this goes back to when we were at Old Bethel on McNabb Street. We went through Purpose Driven. I love those days. They were awesome. And we went Purpose Driven Life, and we studied one session, and it was called Shape. We used to say, how is your shape? And there was a picture. Actually, you saw a picture of me with Arnold Schwarzenegger's head on last week. I told him not to use that picture. But what is your shape? We talked about, you know, whether it's biceps and, you know, big pecs and this person looking great. And a lot of us do a lot of things to help our shape. And I should do more. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the acrostic shape that represents the uniqueness and the gifting that God has allowed in each one of us life so that in each one of our lives so that we can minister to the body of Christ here locally and around the world universally. That acrostic shape means, and I'm going to go through them, and then we're going to go through them in detail. S stands for, wait, before you do it, let's see if we can remember this. S stands for spiritual gifts. H stands for heart. A stands for, good girl, abilities. P for personality. E for experience. Experiences. I believe God's gifting to each one of us is best outlined in this way, where we can see how God has blessed each one of us in our lives and how with that blessing we can be a blessing to others. That's the stewardship of our gifting that I see from Scripture. Let's go through each one of them. S, spiritual gifts. You know, we read from Ephesians chapter 4 and Romans 12 about a group of gifts. And if you wanted to know more about gifting and all those spiritual gifts, you could read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm just going to give you a brief rundown. And I didn't list them on the board, but you can remember these things. But I encourage you to read Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12. It gives you a complete outlay of how God has explained some of the gifts that he has given to us spiritually. Here are some of them. Apostleship, distinguishing spirits, exhortation, evangelism, healings, giving, tongues, interpretation of tongues, administration, prophecy, miracles, faith, pastoring, teaching, showing mercy, and helps. Now, you may have more than one of these, but you have at least one of these. That's what the scripture says. He's equipped the saints with gifts. Every believer in his, just as much as you have the indwelling of the Spirit, you were sealed with the Spirit at conversion, the Holy Spirit has given you a spiritual gift whereby you are to use as being part of the body. The responsibility of us as believers is to identify our spiritual gifts and to use them. Paul, writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, who I'm sure was a great apprentice for the Apostle Paul, and this is what he said, though. Just in case we forget and we get lazy. Just in case we think, well, that was for when I was 25. Or that was when I was in that part of my life. This is what he said to Timothy. Timothy 1, 4, 15, and 16. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. And if that wasn't enough of an encouragement, he said again in 2 Timothy 1, 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift which is in you. Our son Nicholas, we would go and we'd be camping, and he was our firebug. You could always guarantee that our fire was always stoked well and always shaken up with Nicholas with three or four sticks in it. And he'd be stirring it up, and sometimes the flames would be where you didn't want them to be, and sometimes the coals would roll out. But that's the idea here, to stir it up, man, to blow on it, to fan it, to make sure that it stays lit. And Paul is telling Timothy, first of all, don't neglect it, and secondly, you need to work at it. You need to stir it up. It's not going to happen by osmosis. And that's the encouragement we have this morning, that our gifts is needed for both the body, that's the church, and the ministry outside it. So we need to challenge ourselves. We need to read about them. We need to find out what our gift is, and we need to use it. And we can't neglect what God has given to us. We've said that stewardship is taking care of someone else's stuff. That's our responsibility. Good management. And if God has given us this gift, it's up to us to recognize it and to use it. Heart describes your desires and hopes, interests, ambitions, dreams, and affections. Your heart is the source of your motivation. That's the scripture says. Where your heart is, that's where everything's going to be. And where you put your heart at, that's going to come out in the way you act. So our passions, these may be clues where we should serve. Maybe they're clues of where our best fit is in ministry. Special interests come from God. And we shouldn't ignore them. We should consider how we can use those special interests, those desires, those passions that we have for the glory of God. Don't ignore them. There's a reason that you love to do something or you're excited. And I love that about the diversity in the body. There's some things people get jacked about and I say, like, are you kidding? Like, what is that? And that the things I'm interested in may not fit them at all. And that's the diversity. We don't all have the same function. In those passions that God has given you, that are desires of your heart, you're to now look at how you can take those things and work them into your outreach to others and your encouragement to others. Think about them and how you can minister to those around. A, abilities, your God-given natural talents, things that you were born with. Examples, the talented people here musically, we get them changing guitars in the middle of the, like, they're just good. We have a musical ability. We're blessed. And we have people that are using these musical abilities to bring honor and glory to God. And isn't that an amazing thing when you can take something that God has given you and can say, I can now give it back in some way. You can encourage others. There's nothing like music to motivate. I don't know about you, but I can be down. And Jennifer and I don't, we share a great love for each other. We don't share the same likes in radio stations. And I'm a Southern gospel guy, and I'm not sure which she is. Hip-hop worship or something. But I love that. I know what I love the old ones. You know, I got to say, I'm a relic. But, you know, I just, those motivate my soul. And when people can do that, and they can bring glory to God and worship and honor talking about Jesus in their gifted ability, I think that is just the most amazing thing. That's what God would want us to do, to take those gifts and use them. Musical instruments, singing, poetry. Nancy Cartwright, we got an annual meeting. And like, she's the highlight as far as I'm concerned. Thank you for doing that, dear. And people that have the ability to put things together. And we have an organization here. We got George Smale, who we were having a cleanup bee. He had us all marching to a goose step. And those people are given abilities, and they're using it for God's glory. And we have our enthusiastic leadership and music ministry led by Jeff. And we have sports camp. And we have people that are athletic. And where should you be? You should be at sports camp, coaching a team, helping to show young people that we can be excited about sports, but we can be excited about the Lord Jesus at the same time. Our skills, skilled tradespeople in short-term missions. The list goes on. Pastorship. We have Bruce here that gleans from God's word and gives that to us Sunday after Sunday. These are gifts in action. When I was going to trade school in Timmins, I don't know if you've ever heard of the organization Athletes in Action, but we had all the CFL players up there, and they stayed where I was staying, and pretty much the top of my head was in their belly button. Remember Drew Taylor played for the 67s, just massive mountain of a man. And Zenon Andrusician, until just a few years ago, he still held the NCAA record for field goal distance. And these guys were there, and they were using their skill set to honor God. Kids were excited about football. They were doing some passes. We had some scrimmages, and then they'd witness for Jesus Christ. All those things were the gifting that God has given each one of us, specifically, uniquely to you, to be used to build up the body, to encourage each other. I'll leave you with this verse, and this is a challenge. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. That's a challenge. Don't do it for your own glory. Don't do it so people can pump you up. Do it for God's glory. P for personality. God loves variety. Look around. Aren't you glad there's variety in the body of Christ? Some are introverts, some are extroverts, some are leaders. Some are followers, some love routine, some love variety. Some are thinkers, some are feelers. Some work best as individuals, some work best as a team. There's no right or wrong temperament for the ministry. We need all those personalities to balance out the body of Christ, to give it flavor. That's why when you go to Baskin and Robbins, there's 31 flavors. Every time I go there, I have the same flavor, vanilla. I walk in, I go up and down. Oh, yeah, that's nice, that's nice. We're going to have vanilla. Anyways, not too much variety there for me. Personality. But your personality will affect how and where you use your spiritual gifts and your abilities. And last but not least, we have experiences. This is huge. This is probably one of the biggest next to the gifting spiritually that God has given you. The experiences in your life that are unique to you, that are not like anybody else's. The Lord has allowed us to encounter many different experiences so that we can be a blessing to others. I remember listening to Chuck Swindoll. I love Chuck. And this was his prayer when he was in early pastorship. This is what he said. Lord, help me be a blessing to somebody today. There's some days I pray that. Others days I don't. And I know the days I pray that. But God has allowed things to be in your life for a reason. It wasn't a mistake. This wasn't like, okay, this is the second or B plan. God has allowed that so you can minister to others, be a blessing. God has allowed many things to mold us. It's the potter and the clay. And we know that he's molding us even today. And we're a work in progress, and his job will not be finished until we're at home in glory with him. But you can minister to others. Maybe you're going through health problems. Look around this room. There are people in this room, in this city, in this church that need help in ministering with health problems. Maybe you've been freed from an addiction. Maybe you've experienced a broken marriage. Maybe you've experienced the loss of a loved one. All those things that you've gone through, who better to minister to somebody going through trials and tribulations and issues than those that have been through it themselves? Those that can minister to the grace of God as God gave them in their situation. And that's for us to share. Maybe it's a vocational experience. Maybe it's our spiritual experiences, the highs and lows. I love to hear lows. That's why I love the writings of the Apostle Paul. I love to hear that he struggled with things. I love to know his frustration on some of the things that I struggle with. And yet he gives God the glory and he says, but we have a strength, a resource to overcome those things. And we need to share that with each other and show our own humanity as we interact in a ministry way with each other. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, we read this. He, that is God, comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort as God has given us. That's what it means when the body's knit together, when it grows up together with all the parts being nourished as it should be nourished. God uses this unique shape of yours, your abilities, personality, your experiences, your heart, and your spiritual gifts, so that you can minister to others in the body according to the grace that's been given to you by our God. The purpose is to serve him, to contribute to the body. Murray's going to come up and we're going to start a song saying consecration. You know that song. And we're going to play a couple of verses as we finish off this morning. But the challenge we have this morning is for us to ask ourselves some pointed questions. What are you doing for the body? What is it that you're contributing to the body of believers here? And that's not a negative thing. That's an assessment for all of us. What are we doing and what can we do better? How can we use what God has given us in our spiritual gifting and our abilities and our experiences and our heart? All those things, how can we use them to bring honor and glory to our Almighty God? I would say that it's a challenge for me to use. Remember, good stewardship is taking care of all God's stuff in a management way that's honoring to him so that we can further the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think we should just stand together and we'll sing those words from 597 in our celebration hymnal. And I want you to take special notice of the second one. Says, take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Let's sing this together, heartfelt, as we think about our own lives. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my let's just pray together. Lord, we've sang some very challenging words, words that are hard to say, and a challenge of our heart to give you what we have been given from you. Lord, we want to give it back to you. We want to show you glory and honor by using what you've given us for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and for the change he's made in our lives and for us that know him. Lord, it's an encouragement to move forward in that understanding. For those that don't, Lord, make this be a day when they say in their heart, someone maybe in this room, that they want to have this new life, this resource to live life to the fullest as you've promised. Lord, we just again thank you for Jesus. We need your help to consecrate our life, our time, our efforts, our skills, our abilities, everything to you, Lord. We would want to pray this as a desire of our heart. We thank you again for being able to be here. We ask your blessing on every family that is here today as we do this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for coming.